Never. Indeed, Eisner had already complained about Katzenberg on so many occasions, including the letters to Russell, that no one on the board considered Katzenberg even a remotely serious candidate. When he mentioned Katzenberg to Gold, Gold didn't take the suggestion seriously and rejected it out of hand, though both Gold and Roy maintained that Roy never threatened to quit the board if Katzenberg were made president, as Eisner later said. As soon as he was off the phone, Eisner went into Wells's office, closed and locked the door, and searched Wells's desk and files. A little before noon, Katzenberg dropped by Eisner's office, and the two walked to the elevators and then to the executive dining room in the building's rotunda. Katzenberg said nothing about how Eisner had ignored him, and Eisner avoided the succession issue. Katzenberg used the opportunity to urge Eisner to continue speaking to the press about Wells, saying his comments in that day's papers were great, but that Eisner had to do more since others would be talking. Given his feelings about Katzenberg, Eisner was alarmed that this was a veiled threat that Katzenberg would start talking to the press, trying to position himself as Wells' successor. Katzenberg's remarks agitated and upset Eisner. He later said he felt cornered. As they walked into the dining room, Jody Dreyer, John Dreyer's wife, Eisner's assistant who had replaced Art Levitt, was already there with copies of the freshly drafted press release in hand, announcing that Eisner would assume the title of president. She handed a copy to Katzenberg. Eisner hadn't planned for Katzenberg to learn the news from a press release or in so public a setting. Katzenberg read the release and said nothing. Roy was also on hand. Eisner had asked him to be there. The lunch, as Eisner later described it, was awkward and sad. There are people who instinctively rise to such occasions, but by his own admission, Eisner isn't among them. He felt uncomfortable talking about someone so recently deceased, and his discomfort spread to other participants. Toward the end of the lunch, Eisner confirmed what they'd already read in the press release, which was that he would be assuming Wells's titles and duties as president and chief operating officer. They discussed the release and the likely press reaction, and Eisner stressed that only he and Roy would speak to the press. Much to his relief, Katzenberg agreed to this restriction. As they left the room, Katzenberg came up to Eisner. "That's entirely appropriate," he said. Eisner was pleasantly surprised that Katzenberg was being so mature about it. As he later put it, he thought he'd dodged a bullet. In fact, Katzenberg was devastated, so upset that he hadn't brought himself to look directly at Eisner during the lunch and barely ate. The minute he saw the press release drafted without his knowledge and without a single consultation, he knew that his 19-year relationship with Eisner, one in which he'd invested so much of his energy, his loyalties, his hopes, and his dreams, was dead. By the time he got back to his office, Eisner's feelings of relief were giving way to guilt about the way he'd treated Katzenberg. He realized he'd snubbed him, that he'd not had the courage to explain his decision to him face to face. He called Katzenberg and suggested they have their usual Monday evening dinner at Locanda Veneta, just the two of them. Katzenberg readily accepted, noting that he'd cleared his schedule that day and wanted to help in any way he could. The hopes that had been dashed at lunch stirred again. Perhaps Eisner's decision to assume